Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. On this week's show, we have Marika McCandless. Marika is a writer, mindfulness coach, and playfulness instigator who helps people shed their inhibitions and skinny dip into the present moment. She leads a popular online writing practice called Right Now Mind, which has been called out by media icons such as Arianna Huffington. She also leads a guided awareness practice sessions, juicy practices for getting present, and other immersion experiences in meditation, writing, and enlivenment. Her essays have appeared in internationally recognized magazines and newspapers and award-winning anthologies. For a dozen years, she spent 5 to 20 days each year in silent retreat, forging the practices she shares. And she is known for her playful attitude, tennis spirit, and adventurous soul. Her book, Naked in the Now, is available now.
Marika, welcome to the Great Awakening Show.
So delighted to be here. I love the energy going on here.
It's lovely and so wonderful to have you here. So, Marika, I really believe, as the name of this show, the Great Awakening Show, that we are all going through, humanity is going through a great awakening. I'd just like for you to give us some insights on what this means for you and for us all.
Wow, what a great question. And how fun to direct our attention that direction and to, instead of to what's wrong with the world, what's going on that's right? For me, waking up to alleviate suffering, it really required me to deeply investigate my own conditioning, sort of beliefs and assumptions that I had taken on without even really quite knowing it. The society expectations, or maybe cultural expectations, excuse me, but I have a tickle. Wow. Anyway.
I'll edit it. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, great. That was so strong. So anyway, so what I realized was that I thought I understood how life worked. I thought I knew what was important or what sort of proper values were, but I really had to let go of everything that I thought I knew about life. And as often happens with people, it was a sort of a crisis that yes. caused you to re-examine your, you know, what you knew or what you didn't know. And it was tremendously enlivening. It was tremendously enlivening to go deeper, to investigate what might be holding me back from stretching my limits, from being right here, right now in the moment, which might be contributing to ways that I played and interacted in the world. Where was I entrenched in a position that was actually not, that was actually maybe causing more suffering than instead of less suffering? So it's been a journey, and
awakening
worth
is
every moment, worth every moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
This journey is this challenging yet enlightening journey that we are all yeah. on. You know, we all go through the dark night of the soul. We all go through the darkness to get to the light. But, you know, it's just so worth it in the end, is it not?
It is. And I love the term. Of course, I love the term enlightenment. Well, I remember when I first went on this journey, I didn't know what that term meant or anything. And I was like, well, it's got to be better than the endarkenment I'm experiencing now.
The endarkenment. I love that. That's so true. And before we get onto your wonderful book, I just want you to describe, yeah, for our audience. I mean, everything is happening in this divine moment. In this now moment, yeah? There is really, you know, in the spiritual world, heaven, there is only the now. You know, and that's really what it is. So explain that and explain how we are in this construct of time and just a little bit about presence.
You know, if we stop for just a moment, if any one of us who might even be caught up in our day-to-day world, in our mundane priorities, in our agendas, but if we take a moment to look inside, what we really actually want in the deepest recesses of our being is to be present. And what that means is not being even one step ahead of ourselves, not striving for the next thing, but being here for what is here as it unfolds, because the richness as it unfolds is what informs us for how to be, how to respond, how to enjoy the next moment, even if it in our mind it's too difficult, it's too hard. I'll tell a little tiny story about what it feels like to be in the now, because it's a fairly new story. And so I've been on this journey. I've been loving the reminder to continually check back into right now, to not know what the next words are that are to embrace the unknown and uncertainty, because it's alive and it's vital there. It isn't planned out. The story, however, has to do with 2 years ago, my grandbaby was being born.
Wow.
And although there was no warning for this, her birth was traumatic. And she was born without breathing. She was born, she was born without breathing, and they really were not certain if she would live. And I remember getting that phone call, because of course we were anticipating the birth. And in that moment, all of the practices that I've done on this journey, all of it came into that very moment. And I understood with, you know, all the cells of my being, this is the only, absolutely the only moment that there is. And I don't want to be in another moment, even in my mind right now, because right now, this is where this baby granddaughter is. It's the only place she is.
Yes.
And
it's so true.
Yeah. And it just, it really underscored what I had already experienced in multiple myriad different ways, but under circumstances where you can imagine that you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
You want to be either completely on overwhelm, or, you know, just desperately praying for the next better moment. And that was not where the peace was. The peace was in this moment. Right now, I'm going to be with this child. This moment is everything.
Yes. And you know what? God, Goddess, only works in this divine moment. Yeah. Because all the power of now is in this moment. Now we can change our lives. Now we can begin anew, because we can have the new thoughts and the new feelings and the new words and the new everything.
Exactly.
To create that life. Because now is where the power is. Because we can create from the now. Yeah.
Yes.
If we're stuck in the I should have done that, or I should be doing this, you're out of sync with the natural order of this realm, because you know God only works in the now. It's like, wow.
Yes. It's like, I love this passionate that you bring to it. And it's another, sometimes it, if you, when we touch into it, there's this feeling of, there's a feeling of curiosity without needing to know what's coming next. It's that kind of interest. And there's a feeling of pure potential. We can use our mind to create whatever statistics we think are likely are going to happen, but pure potential is before that, and it is fertile. It is fertile ground for living into the next moment.
And for creation.
It's counterintuitive to what our mind wants to think.
It's the realm of infinite possibilities.
Yes.
And creation. Wow. It's just beautiful. And that leads me on to your incredible book, Naked in the Now. What a fantastic title, honestly. It's just, it's just such a wonderful title. And please tell us the core message and invitation you offer the readers in your book, Naked in the Now.
Well, really the core message is kind of what we've just been talking about. It's about cultivating a deeper, more intimate relationship with the moment. It's funny. It's with ourselves. It might be with others, but what it really is an intimacy with this moment. And there's so many cues when you can know whether you are intimate with the moment, but one just basic cue is whether you are into your senses, because your senses, they only exist right now. Our mind can make us think that we're traveling into the future or back into the past, but we can only smell right now, taste right now. It's also an invitation to, I like to say, it's an invitation to go on an inner striptease.
I love that. It's like stripping away the onion, the parts of ourselves, you know,
totally.
No longer the limiting parts of ourselves, to get to the core.
Totally.
To get to the truth.
To get to the authentic self. And when you're there, and it's not like, I want your listeners to understand, it sounds like, you know, like this journey that's going to take a lot of time to get all of the critical ingredients,
really difficult hard work.
Difficult hard work. Yeah, we're going to have to work at this. And it's not like that. It's so much more like that moment. I say this because my book is called Naked in the Now, right?
Yeah.
It's like that moment when you're just being seduced by a lover. You're completely present. You're curious to what's next. Your senses are all alive, and it's tinged with this feeling of delight. And it happens all the time. It's all the time happening. We just overlook it for getting caught up in a story.
Yeah.
So you could, like, even now. So even now, all the hair is standing up. I've just met you for the first moment. I feel this intimate kinship with you. I feel this willingness to not have to know anything more than whatever we are doing right here, right now together. And we can dip into that just as easily as we can get stuck on a bad negative thought in our head. We can come back and just touch into a moment of delight, touch into the now again and again and again. It's easy, and it's
beautiful.
Seductive once you kind of get the hang of it.
That is so beautiful. And that's what, you know, the yogis and the Buddhists say, being mindful in what you are doing now. So even if you're doing the washing up, whatever you are doing, you are being present in the now. You are mindful of what you're doing. You're not thinking about anything else in the past. You're not thinking about anything else in the future, but you're being mindful of what you're doing. So you are doing the washing up and you're feeling it. You're completely engrossed in what you are doing in that moment.
Totally.
When you're ironing, when you're having sex, you are aware and you're completely present, which is what mindfulness is.
And you instantaneously assume, because we are habitual thinkers. We are taught to be addicted to our thinking. We sort of grow up on, we think, therefore, I think, therefore I am. And so it takes a little bit of curiosity and willingness to unravel that. So the moment that you realize, oh, you know what? Actually, I'm not washing the dishes right now. I'm planning my dinner or whatever, which, you know, you don't have to beat yourself up. That's okay. That's what our brains do. Our brains are just doing their thing. We're just directing our attention. Let your brain do its thing and direct your attention. The thoughts may still be happening. It's just not what we're focusing on. You just let them do their thing and come back to the sensual now.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we are not our thoughts. We are the observer. We are the soul consciousness behind that. You know, and we use our thoughts, feelings, you know, for living in this world, but we are not them. That's just so empowering, you know, and therefore we can change them.
Yes, that too.
Wow. And how can the practices in your book help readers cultivate more presence, more intimacy, which we were just talking about, you know, and joy in their daily lives? Because that is so beautiful. We were just talking about that, being more, that's what it is, being intimate with yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Then you can be intimate with others.
I think that sometimes the hesitation is our mind will immediately pick up this idea. Oh, I'm never going to be able to do that. I'm always thinking. It's just part of who I am. It's what I do. My mind just goes on. So one of the things I like to say is, you know what? You can befriend your monkey mind. You, instead of beating yourself up for having one, you can meet it halfway. You can begin to realize that it's not all of who you are. You can begin to approach it kind of like a puppy. You know, the puppy, it doesn't want to just sit and stay, but you can say, you're learning. Mind, it's okay. You're learning how to come back to this moment. So the practices in my book, I'm approaching it from people who tend to think they're too busy to get present. They already have enough on their to-do plate. And so these are all very short practices, 10 minutes or less. And what I'm hoping people will experience is just how easy it is to dip into these moments of delight. Delight is at the is at the center of intimacy with the moment. There's this, you know, there's this okayness and acceptance tinged with infinite possibility in a slightly playful way, a slightly not everything is so serious way. And that's what we're dipping into in the practices in my book. There's 35 of them. So there's plenty of different ones, or 34, I think.
Yeah.
So some of them are just simple ways to come back to your senses. Some of them are, I like to say, the key of an inner striptease is, one, come back to the body. Two, challenge the mind. Ask yourself, is that so? Question your own mind. And the third one is to investigate for yourself the nature of beingness, of naked beingness. What does that mean? So, for instance, one of the practices has to do with exploring how far and how deep do I go? So on our surface, it seems like I'm a bag of bones covered in skin. I'm sort of the boundary of my skin, and I'm what I think. So the question is that so? What is your actual experience of being in this body? If you close your eyes and you rest your arms in your lap, are you actually able to discern where one finger ends and the next one begins? Are you aware of sort of this, where your skin is? Does it feel like there's something that's existing beyond the skin? And if so, what is that? How is that happening? What is happening? How far beyond the skin do you go? Is there an end to it? So you just get curious, and then the whole thing is your own experience, your own direct experience of naked being.
And
then you'll get hooked.
Yeah. And that is, you've just described meditation. Yeah.
Yes.
Just sitting and being and closing your eyes and being with yourself.
Yeah.
And then just quietening that mind, you know, allows them thoughts to space out, and the space between the thoughts gets longer and longer.
Yes.
And you can sit with being and just for longer and longer. And it becomes so blissful and beautiful, you know, and then eventually other things, you know, the light comes, and, you know, and it's just, that's when divine intelligence comes in.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, when, because you can't, if you've got a monkey mind, how can anything come in? I believe that God, Goddess is photons of divine love light energy.
Totally.
Yeah. That's why we have to sit and we have to, you know, silent the mind and have a still mind to open that door, which allows them photons of love light, divine intelligence to come in and help us and give us ideas. You know, to move forward in different directions in our life, to live our best life.
Completely.
You know, our soul destiny. But if we can't, if we don't do that, we, you know, our monkey mind can't, it can't get through.
Yeah. And it's just practice.
Yeah,
it's just practice. Don't despair if you have a monkey mind. We all have monkey minds. We've all had monkey minds. We've all thought that it was impossible. And it's just not true. It's just another thought. Oh, that's interesting. you can experience these gaps that Yogini's talking about. And you can really, really experience for yourself what I call it, an insight or a direct insight or divine intelligence. What that feels like is an inviolable knowing.
Yes.
It's not a kind of pros and cons going back in your head. Should I do this or shouldn't do this? It's just like, wow. And it's inviolable. It's just a direct understanding of the truth. Mm. And it's available for everybody, anybody.
And it doesn't cost any money.
And it's free.
Do it. It's free. And also, when you go in, you know, The old cliche, it's all within you. The king, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you, the kingdom of God is within. And it's so true. Every single yogi and spiritual person always says it. But don't look for the bliss or the beautiful light. Just sit and be. And then slowly, 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 over time, it will come. And then I there's a wonderful saying by one of the most brilliant, Bill Donahue is an old guy on YouTube, but he just decodes the Bible and it's just wonderful. And he says, if you sit and you just be and you just raise that and you raise your awareness up into the third eye, he said, the light will come. And then your inner beloved, the truth of you, your soul consciousness, the God goddess within will take you by the hand and raise you up into nirvana.
Yes.
How beautiful. But you can't chase that. No chasing, just being, isn't
exactly.
it?
It's just being, and it's, yeah. It's beginning to, like you said before, it's beginning to recognize that you're not your thoughts.
Yeah.
And that takes a little bit of distancing, but it's very easy to do. I mean, there's some practices in my book that kind of teach you how to get started on this. But one of the easiest ones is, even if you just sit for a couple minutes, you can count your thoughts. It's like, oh, you know, my mind is always going crazy. Cool. That means you're aware of your thoughts. So why don't you count them? And that gives you just this tiny bit of witnessing, this tiny bit of detachment. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, okay. And as you begin counting them, often what happens is the mind gets shy. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes blank. And you're like, wait, I'm not thinking anything. Oh yeah, that's a thought. But just play with it. This is a playground. This is not a striving work field. This is a playground for being intimate with yourself, for being intimate with all that is, that is who you are.
Yeah. And it's the only way to know thyself.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's the only way.
There's no other way. And it's the only thing that I meditate every day. And nothing out there, and I say this all the time, but nothing out there in that 3D world can ever give me what I have, that feeling, and what I have, that connection within.
Yeah.
It just doesn't do it. You know, it's beautiful.
It's a Band-Aid. It's a stopgap. It gives you that. It's funny because we naturally strive for happiness, right? I want to be happy. But we have this idea that happiness is a feeling of crazy, enthusiastic energy, when it might be this subtle feeling of deep contentment and ease that is
peace,
far more valuable than the momentary highs, the momentary mind candy.
Yeah, that is so true. Wow, that is so true. That's beautiful. And naked in the now, you describe being naked in the now as a power. It is a powerful, seductive opening, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is the way to inner transformation.
Yes. Yes. And I, you know what, I use, you know, I call it being naked in the now because that's actually what it is.
Right? You know what? Yes. And you know what that means to me? It means to me to be brave, because people don't want to be naked. They don't like to see themselves naked. They don't want to see their dark thoughts or the things that they don't want to show to others, or the acknowledgement. It's like a shadow. You don't want to expose it to the light, you know?
Yes. Yes. And that's why I use the term naked in the now, because nakedness has this double-edged sword. We were like, nakedness, that's vulnerability. That's exposure. That's danger land. Yeah, unless you happen to be madly in love with your lover and you want to get messy and be present and explore nakedness, and then it's fun. So metaphorically, the same thing happens when we go on this inner journey that you're talking about. It's just like that experience of opening up to a lover. It's opening up to yourself with you grow to trust yourself enough that you can be okay with your dark thoughts. It's not about making your thoughts be better or even that they'll completely go away. It's being okay with whatever is here right now, including your thoughts, and allowing them to self-liberate so that you come back to this moment again.
Yes. And also, it's, you know, what you said about that vulnerability, it's so important. We've all been wounded. Every human being has been wounded. We are human and we are spiritual, but we've all been wounded. But Rumi said, the wound is where the light enters. Your heart open. It's
totally
wound, isn't it? It cracks it open.
Totally.
For us to be able to, and this is another one here about self-love. How can your practices of self-love and acceptance help people shed the old conditioning, you know, and reveal the nature of the true self? Because that's what it is. So, you know, being vulnerable and being naked in the now is about loving yourself.
It is. And it's about, you know, at the center of my book, there's a story that I tell. And for many years, my husband and I went on silent retreats. So many of these practices were formed on silent retreat because you have an opportunity to really still your mind to see what's going on. And on this one silent retreat, I was doing an ancient practice called Tonglen. Have you heard of that? Okay. It's also, some people call it sending and taking, and it's such a powerful practice because, first of all, the practice itself is almost exactly the opposite of what we think we need to do. So the practice of Tonglen is you take in your suffering. What we want to do is, oh, I need them. I need to get rid of my suffering.
Get an embrace.
But what we... Yes, exactly. And the thing is that what it begins to show us is that what's at the core of our being is this light that you were talking about. It's this source that is powerful enough to burn up the suffering. So we think we want to push it away. Oh, breathe out the negative energy, breathe in the good air. It's exactly the opposite. We take in our suffering because our being is naturally capable of dissolving that suffering whenever it touches the source, whenever it touches that divine light. That is where it dissolves.
Yeah.
So I was doing this exercise of Tonglen, and the you know, and you can do it with the whole entire world. You can do it with your own suffering, with suffering of a loved one, or the suffering of, you take it in. That's inside at the core, in that light can dissolve anything. And it only happens when we're not ahead of ourselves, when we're willing to take it in.
Yes. But otherwise, don't you think, Marjorie? Otherwise, you're going to push it down, and it's going to stay there in the pain body. And then it's going to come up later on as some crazy, chaotic, you know, life experience, because
totally.
You have to deal with it. You cannot. You have to. It's the inner work that we must do. We have to, you know, bring the light to it. But the inner light is so important to burn that up. That's so true. Or, especially for women, we pass it on to the next generation if we don't heal it. Yeah. And that's what it is. While you're embracing it, you're healing it.
Yes. You know? Embracing it is healing it. I mean,
also,
that's the...
Also, it's part of this duality, this divine realm that we live in. You've got to have the dark and the light, the positive and the negative, the masculine and the feminine, the left and the right. You can't have one without the other.
That's right.
We
That's
there
right.
wouldn't, if, you know, we wouldn't understand what good is
That,
without
and
evil.
that's the heart of acceptance, right? It's
Yeah.
not just accepting when I'm all on and I'm doing great and whatever. It's accepting that sometimes I'm not.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not
And
present.
being okay with that as
And
well.
being okay with that.
Accepting, because I write about, I've just finished my book. I write about the dark goddess and the white goddess, and all of these years, like from the Inquisition and everything, all the natural, religions of nature worship and everything, that dark goddess was really downtrodden in women, so downtrodden. We weren't allowed to express ourselves. We weren't allowed to speak up. We weren't allowed to, express our sexuality and our sensuality or assert ourselves. And it was the white virginal Mary, Mother Mary. Women had to be like this, the passive, submissive white Mary, Mary, Mother Mary. And now, because of this awakening, I really believe women are coming up and they're embracing their dark goddess as much, because that makes us whole. The whole reason we are here is to call back them parts of our soul that we gave away in them times of our wounding. That dark goddess, bring her back with the white god to become whole again. You can't have one without the other.
You can't have one without the other. And the now has it all. It's not this false sort of. The funny thing is that I think earlier on you were saying something about you don't sort of strive for the blissful nirvana, what you think is nirvana. It's really so much more subtle than that and includes it all. And there is the richness and there is the peace because we can't control of events. We can't control our life.
That's true. We can only, it's not what happens to us, it's how we deal with it. Become a victim of it or a creator. Isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Yes.
Hello.
I was talking about this Tonglen experience, and at the time, what I was dealing with in my life was a feeling of inadequacy. I don't know. I just Whatever. I was like, they said, pick something you want to work with. And I was like, okay, I want to work with this feeling of inadequacy. And so the instructions were to bring it in. Bring in this feeling. Don't shove it away. So I was doing this Tonglen. I was bringing this the self-talk, I am inadequate, in. And as I was doing this practice, I began to do what you probably would naturally do. First, I tried using sort of platitudes. That's just dumb. Of course, you're not inadequate. You're a fully functioning, successful woman, whatever. You've been through all these things. You're not inadequate. So I was arguing with myself more or less. I was trying to replace it with a different saying, but it wasn't working. It was, what we were looking for as we went on this deep journey of bringing a piece of suffering inside We were looking for this opening to the door to everything, more or less. And so it was just, it was not working. But as I sat there, continuing to practice with bringing this sentence, I am inadequate, into my being, what happened was this piercing moment of truth. So this piercing piece of divine intelligence that came through and said, and it wasn't, it's not like hearing a voice in your head, it's just like this intense knowing. And it said, you are inadequate. And that stopped me in my tracks for a second, because I was not what I was expecting. And, but what came with that understanding was that when I am identified with my ego persona, I am inadequate. And I will always and forever and forever and forever be inadequate. That ego persona cannot ever be adequate. And as I saw that truth, and I saw that it was how I was identified, what I was identified with, whether I was identified with the source of all or this ego persona, this bag of bones and thoughts that was the source of all the suffering, the source of that very sentence itself, it was absolutely true. That persona will always be inadequate. And that's when total illumination dropped in. And you have this knowing that, I mean, your thoughts are just this chatter. They have nothing, nothing to do with that experience of pure natural being, of pure naked being.
Pure naked being. That is such a beautiful way to put it. That is absolutely gorgeous. Yes. And, you know, the ego, that's why we always have this internal battle, isn't it? The ego and the true self. Every morning we wake up and it's, you know,
you know, it's winning today.
That's right. It's, but on a subtle, but you know, we need a little bit of our ego to function in this realm.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
As long as we use, but we use the ego as a tool, you know, we use it and we don't let it use us. That's exactly the key, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that is the key. That's the puppy, right?
Yes,
that's the, you can have so much fun with the puppy. It's very useful. It does keep track of things and it does exactly what it's supposed to do. And it helps us interact in the world, but you don't want it to be there at the expense of this vitality of living, this vitality of presence.
Mm. So beautiful.
And it comes back to what you said, that acceptance of it all. You don't get back to that vitality of beingness by saying to yourself, oh, I'm always going to be inadequate, I'm doomed. No, that's not where the truth is. The truth is in that wholeness of it all.
Yeah, because we are a divine being, you know. Like, I think, you know, we've been told as a collective that we are sinners, that we are unworthy, that, you know, and I think it's done such a bad, like the the conditioning of all, you know, society, religions, whatever, you know, it's just, and, you know, we have to come out of that. That's what the awakening is. That's what the self-awakening is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Realizing, no, we are worthy. And in fact, we are children of God, Goddess. We're children of Most High. You know, it's back to you.
Exactly.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
It's funny. I remember being on a freeway once and driving in the rain, and it had just started raining, and I had a VW Bug at the time. And I started hydroplaning, and I started doing these giant 360s down a freeway that had other cars on it. And my first thought was, I'm going to die. So total chaos is reigning. This is where I was going, because you were just talking about. So total chaos is reigning. Fear is present. And then There was no fear. There was absolute, complete centeredness in the center of this cyclone of physical drama. And I was like, wow, that is kind of fascinating. You know, there's actually at the center of this, there's no fear. It's, you know, and then the car came to a stop and the ops, you know, whatever. And then the fear comes in again or whatever. But it's such a perfect metaphor for being within chaos and still there's a calm center. There's
being
a center.
Peace.
Yeah.
And having that peace, you know, earth peace through self peace. It's always about us. We have to feel that first, you know. And then we can give it out through our thoughts and feelings as well. That's so beautiful. Wow.
What's your book? I'm so curious. What's your book?
No, I've just finished it. It's going to be called Awaken Your Divine Feminine. And it's a trilogy. Awaken Your Divine Feminine. It's got all the 13 teachings and practices and healings. But then it's going to have Awaken Your Divine Masculine. And then it's a trilogy.
Oh, I love it.
Awaken Your Divine Unity.
Beautiful.
Yeah. But it's been a labor of complete love that I've been in my cave. So, yes. But where can we read your beautiful book, Naked in the Now? Where can we read
it? You can find it, you know, wherever you get your books. It's it's available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. It's available on Amazon UK. It's an easy title to remember. So
yes,
you can find
it. Sure
Naked
is.
In the Now. Juicy Practices for Getting Present. And I encourage you to reach out to me. Go to my website, send me a contact. I love touching in with people. I have so many free offerings. Subscribe to my
website. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My website is just, I'll spell it. It's my first name and my last name. So it's MarijkaMcCandless.com. So it's
lovely.
MarijkaMcCandless.com.
Beautiful.
I'm sure you'll include a link. But anyway,
okay.
Visit me. I want to know you. I want to get to know you. I want to be with you. I want to be present with you.
Oh, Marijka. You are such a beautiful soul. And thank you so much for all of your divine truth and insights and wisdom that you've given us today. And thank you for writing your beautiful book, Naked in the Now. It's just so beautiful to say it. I love the title. It's so catchy. And thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you so much. I had a wonderful time.
Much beautiful.